Good afternoon. My name is Cheryl, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the fourth quarter 2016 financial results conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. John McCann, President and CEO, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much, and thanks everyone for joining the conference call today to review the fourth quarter and the year-to-date results for the period ending December 31st, 2016. Quick note, I need to apologize. We are having a computer glitch with loading the transcript and presentation that we had prepared for this call. So as soon as possible, that will be loaded on the Mace Corp site, and hopefully that'll be as soon as we can possibly do it. So right now, I'll turn it over to Carl, who will read a forward-looking statement and go over our fourth quarter and year-to-date results. Thank you.
Certain statements and information during this conference call will constitute forward-looking statements and are based on management expectations and information currently in the possession of management. When used during our conference call, the words or phrases will likely result, are expected to, will continue, is anticipated, estimate, projected, and intended to, or similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements. Such statements are subjected to certain risks, known and unknown, and uncertainties including, but not limited to, economic conditions, limit of capital resources, and the ability of management to effectively manage the business and integrate acquired businesses. Such factors could materially adverse the effect of Mace's financial performance. It could cause Mace's actual results for the future periods to differ materially from any opinions or statements expressed during this call. I will now comment on our fourth quarter and year-end 2016 financial results. After I'm finished, I'll turn the call back over to John McCann, our CEO. My approach will be to walk down the P&L line by line, commenting on the first quarter, followed by comments on the full year. I will now comment on sales by channel and product category. Fourth quarter net sales were $2,238,000 compared to $2,051,000 last year, an increase of $187,000 or 9.1%. For a breakdown by channel, sporting goods net sales for the fourth quarter totaled $940,000 compared to $724,000 last year, an increase of $216,000 or 29.8%, a significant increase despite the loss of $73,000 in sales in Q4 2015 to the now bankrupt Sports Authority. Consumer channel net sales for the fourth quarter totaled $958,000 compared to $832,000 last year, an increase of $126,000 or 15.1%. Web channel net sales for the fourth quarter totaled $39,000 compared to $56,000 last year, a decrease of 17% or 30%. Tactical channel net sales totaled $98,000 for the quarter compared to $211,000 last year, a decrease of $113,000. The decrease is mainly attributed to timing of sales of our TG Guard security protection systems. International sales for the quarter totaled $81,000 compared to $183,000. This decrease is mainly attributed to timing, as international sales are up 71% year to date. Sales categorized as OEM or other totaled $122,000 compared to $44,000 last year, an increase of $77,000. This increase is mainly attributed to selling 81,000 of Mace Alert 911 units. So now I'll break down the same product sales by category for the fourth quarter. Sales of personal protection aerosol products or pepper spray totaled $2,006,000. Compared to $1,879,000 for an increase of $127,000 or 6.8%. Personal protection non-aerosol, which includes Mace stun guns, Mace Alert 911, totaled $171,000 compared to $63,000 for the fourth quarter last year, an increase of $108,000. This increase is attributed to $79,000 in stun gun sales, 128% increase over Q4 last year, and 80,000 in sales of Mace Alert 911. Sales of Night Beam's products were 21,000 for the quarter compared to 24,000 last year. Home security product sales, which include the door jammer and wireless home alarm systems for the fourth quarter, were 25,000 for 2016 and 2015. Offsetting the gains was a decrease in TG Guard security systems, which I mentioned when I discussed the decrease in tactical sales channel above. TG Guard security system sales were 12,000 for the quarter compared to 119 last year, a decrease of 107,000. Net sales for the year were $9,054,000 compared to $7,145,000 last year, an increase of $1,909,000 or 26.7%. And I'm going to break these sales down by channel and product category as well, giving you the highlights. Sporting channel net sales totaled $3,397,000 compared to $3,016,000 last year, an increase of $381,000 or 12.6%. Again, a significant increase despite the loss of $330,000 in sales to Sports Authority, who filed for bankruptcy. Consumer channel net sales totaled $3,981,000 compared to $2,684,000 last year, an increase of $1,297,000 or 48.3%. We were very successful in expanding doors, adding SKUs, and getting display programs with key customers, as well as opening new accounts, which drove this segment, this channel, if you will. Web channel net sales increased slightly at $170,000 compared to $166,000 last year. Tactical channel net sales totaled $397,000 compared to $612,000 last year, a decrease of $215,000 or 35%. And this decrease is mainly attributed to a decline in sales of our TG Guard security protection systems, which tend to be cyclical in nature, with 2016 being an off year. International sales totaled $908,000 compared to $531,000, an increase of $377,000 or 71%. This increase can be attributed to a refugee issue experienced in Europe in early 2016 and opening new accounts in Poland and South Africa. Sales categorized as OEM or other totaled $201,000 compared to $136,000 last year, an increase of $65,000 or 48%. And again, this increase is mainly attributed to selling 81,000 of Mace Alert 911 units in Q4 of 2016. Year-to-date numbers broken down by product category. Sales of personal protection aerosol products or pepper spray totaled $8,398,000 compared to $6,249,000, an increase of $1,970,000 or 30.6%. Personal protection non-aerosol, which includes Mace stun guns and Mace Alert 911, totaled $408,000 compared to $209,000 last year, an increase of $199,000 or 95.3%. This increase is attributed to $254,000 in stun gun sales, a 95% increase over last year, and $89,000 in sales of Mace Alert 911. Sales of Night Beam products for the year totaled $77,000 compared to $40,000 last year. Home security product sales, again, which include the door jammer and wireless home alarm systems, were $90,000 compared to $104,000 last year. And the decline here can be attributed to phasing out some old technology wireless systems. Offsetting the gains was a decrease in TG Guard security systems, already mentioned, and TG Guard security system sales were $133,000 compared to $275,000 last year, a decrease of $142,000. Now I'll turn my attention to gross profit for the quarter and the year to date. Gross profits for the fourth quarter 2016 totaled $863,000 with a 38.6% gross margin compared to $725,000 and 35.3% gross margin for 2015, an increase of $138,000 or 19%, and an increase of 3.3 percentage points of margin. The increase in gross profit dollars can be attributed to, in margin, $187,000 increase in sales and margin improvements. The margin improvements include automation in the manufacturing process, which increased productivity while reducing labor expense. We also had a decrease in material costs as the company completed its conversion of approximately 95% of sales to a blister carton dome and a reduction in component housing costs as the company fully amortized the cost of the tooling. Offsetting the margin improvements was an $84,000 increase in inventory reserves for the quarter. Gross profit for the year ended December 31st totaled $3,685,000 with a 40.7% gross margin compared to $2,755,000 and 38.6% gross margin, an increase of $930,000 or 33.8%, and an increase of 2.1 percentage points in margin. The increase in gross profit dollars can be attributed to the $1.9 million increase in sales and margin improvements I mentioned. Moving on to SG&A cost. Selling, general, administrative expenses for the quarter ended December 31st were $947,000 or 42.3% of revenues compared to $1,022,000 or 49.8% of revenues in 2015, a $75,000 or 7.3% improvement for the quarter. Material favorable variances for the quarter of approximately $205,000 included reductions in compensation, roughly $14,000, stock option expense, $19,000, severance payments last year that didn't repeat this year of $82,000, public relations savings of $48,000, and advertising and trade show expenditures savings of $42,000. Offsetting these favorable variances were increased legal professional accounting fees, roughly $49,000 related to selling the surveillance business and the Washington Labs acquisition, and $25,000 in variable selling expenses, and an additional $31,000 for a favorable write-off last year in the quarter that was a one-time fourth quarter event that didn't repeat itself in 2016. Selling, general, administrative expenses for the year ended December 31st, 2016 were $3,719,000 or 41.1% of revenues compared to $3,838,000 or 53.7% of revenues in 2015, $119,000 reduction on $1.9 million increase in sales. Material favorable variances included reductions in compensation of approximately $228,000, severance $82,000, and then advertising, marketing, and trade show type expenses of $258,000. As the company was more strategic this year in marketing and advertising, and then we also had a $32,000 reduction in customer penalties, just shipping to our customers a little bit smarter. Offsetting these favorable variances were increased legal professional and accounting fees of $180,000 related to selling the surveillance business and Washington Labs acquisition, along with last year's audit, which carried into 2016. Last year, we also had $144,000 favorable write-off of old liabilities that was favorable to 2015 and didn't repeat itself in 2016. We also had an increase in public relations expenses in 2016 of $57,000, and we attended investor conferences, which was a $12,000 variance in 2016. There was also additional savings, if you will, in the various categories of roughly $105,000, and these expense items included payroll taxes, benefits, and insurance. Operating loss for the fourth quarter totaled $123,000 compared to a loss of $330,000. For the year, operating loss totaled $189,000 compared to a loss of $1,223,000 in 2015, an improvement of $1,034,000. Interest expense for the quarter 2016 and 2015 totaled $13,000, and this is interest on the put note. Interest income for the quarter totaled $34,000 compared to $41,000 in 2015. For the year, interest expense totaled $139,000 compared to $179,000. Interest income, I'm sorry, totaled $179,000, a decrease of $43,000. The decline in interest is a result of security partners paying off a $250,000 note in July of 2016 and the decrease in principal on their note, with the balance going from $1.6 million at the end of 2015 to $1.3 million at the end of 16, and that's a 5.5% interest-bearing note. Other expenses for the quarter totaled $4,000 compared to $16,000 in 2015. For the year 2016 had expense of $4,000 from disposal of assets compared to $296,000 gain in 2015, a $300,000 change. 2015 included a $322,000 gain related to the early retirement of a $1.4 million note payable to Merlin, and we have further details on this in the notes to our audited financials. As a result, loss from continuing operations improved $199,000 for the quarter, going from $320,000 loss in 2015 to $121,000 loss in 2016. If you adjust for the $322,000 gain in 2015, the improvement was really $521,000. For the year, loss from continuing operations totaled $120,000 compared to $820,000 in 2015, a $700,000 improvement. And again, adjusting for the $322,000 gain, the improvement is $1,022,000. Income tax is a $19,000 benefit for the quarter and year, and this is an income tax refund we have been pursuing with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which we finally received. Income loss from discontinued operations for the quarter totaled $222,000, and income compared to $129,000 loss in 2015. And in the quarter, it included a $212,000 gain on the sale of the surveillance business to SecureCheck LLC, which took place in November of 2016. For the year, discontinued operations totaled $351,000 compared to a $206,000 loss in 2015. The $351,000 in income includes a $212,000 gain and $139,000 in income as the company continued to service its customer base in 2015. As a result, net income for the quarter totaled $120,000 compared to a loss of $450,000 in 2015, a $570,000 improvement. Net income for the year totaled $250,000 compared to a loss of $1,027,000, a $1,277,000 improvement over 2015. At this time, I'll make a few comments on our balance sheet. At December 31st, the company's net book value was $8.8 million compared to $8.3 million in December of 2015. You know, Mace had $9.6 million in total assets, including $2.8 million of cash and short-term investments. Net inventory, excluding the surveillance, well, it wasn't with us anymore, was totaled $1,568,000 compared to $1,601,000, a decrease of $33,000 or 2%. We had positive working capital of approximately $6.2 million, current ratio of 9.1. The company had no paper debt as of December 31st, 2016. NOLs at December 31st, 2016 were $60 million, with $1.1 expiring in 2018, and the last NOL expiring in the year 2036. At this point, I'd like to thank you and joining us this afternoon, and I'll turn the call over to John McCann.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks to everyone for participating on today's call. First, I want to apologize again. As soon as possible, we'll get the investor presentation up onto the website. We have loaded a lot of information onto the website, and we'll continue to do more. First, I want to thank all the hardworking members of the Mace team, from our independent rep groups to our shipping, sourcing, finance, marketing department. We worked very hard to get to this day where we're at a break even and even making a couple dollars. So it's now a great time for Mace and a great time for us in the future. Just a couple quick bullet points. As Carl reviewed, we're up 27% in net sales, with almost every category up, with the exception of Tactile, which I'll speak about later. In addition, we were able to increase our gross margins by 19% through the following strategic efforts: strategic programs with key retailers to drive sales and opportunities, continued implementation of our environmentally friendly and cost-reducing packaging initiative, and continuing manufacturing improvements from production to shipment, with more changes and improvements to come. We are pleased with the results, but we're not satisfied, as our goal is to continue to empower people worldwide through the power of the Mace brand. Quick review of why the brand has so much potential now more than ever in the past. The Mace brand is synonymous with pepper spray and personal defense and security. No other player in the segment can make that claim. Mace is both a noun and a verb. The Mace brand is the clear market leader and the only brand recognized by consumers. Mace continues to innovate and differentiate itself from other products in the marketplace from our new handles, which are more cost-effective than our prior handles with our flip-top lids, and also our award-winning packaging. The Mace brand continues to lead the market in thought, products, and performance. Our brand promise and promise continue to show no bounds as we've expanded into several markets overseas, and now the Mace brand can be found in nearly every continent on the planet. Briefly, I'll discuss some of the success and some of the work that still needs to be done. As stated earlier, we are pleased, but we're not satisfied, as the potential of the brand is much greater than our results as of today. Mace's success is a combination of a very sound strategy, promoting and reinforcing the brand and expanding distribution worldwide. We fixed the image of the company through our messaging and packaging efforts. All safety and security products we've developed are within our brand and style guide, which we monitor closely, and we make sure all of our retailers and our partners, both online and in brick-and-mortar stores, associate the Mace brand with empowerment and as the number one brand in safety and security. Our new handles are fully implemented at retail, and the receptions continue to be great. We've started working on the next generation, as Winston Churchill stated, to improve is to change, to be perfect is to change often. So we will continue to look at new ways to answer consumer needs by constantly improving our products and our capacities. Our new packaging is closer to 90% implemented. We continue to implement in the first quarter of 2017. Again, with the packaging similar, with our packaging similar to our product handles, we've learned more as we've done more, and we're able to create more efficiencies as we move forward. Every year, the perceived value of the brand continues to grow. Strategically, we have advertised the brand to differentiate ourselves from the competition through our retail partners and some strategic online marketing, and also through our partners at Amazon. Based on the results, our sell-through POS sales did slow down a little bit in the fourth quarter due to slow foot traffic at retail and also internationally. Western Europe continues to evolve with regard to defense sprays laws and regulations. Delivery, our freight costs are up slightly, but that's due to timing and some of the retail deliveries that we had to make to our different customers. But we're able to do this without tying up a lot of inventory as we reduced our inventory over the year. We also were able to expand into 72 new accounts with multiple doors, from one door to 100 doors to 1,000 doors. So we're very pleased with that expansion, but we'll continue to work hard on further expansion both domestically and internationally. Distribution. We've not only increased our distribution in terms of partners and doors and accounts, we've also made a concentrated effort to be in several different departments within a store. Some of our longtime partners have the Mace brand of products in several departments in the store and multiple ways of displaying our products in their stores. Traditional retail is up double digits, not only due to new distribution, but the placement, as I mentioned prior, in the store. Margins for our traditional retail was up year to year due to mix, efficiency, and programming with our key customers. Internationally, we have opened up accounts and distribution in South America, South Africa, and Western Europe, with strong sell-through results and consumer satisfaction thus far. We are continuing to work on plans to expand that brand throughout all the corners of the earth as we solutions which are effective, safe, and responsible. Tactical, as Carl pointed out in the financial analysis, is down. But within the channel, there are some positives. We've added new departments in 2016. Our defense sprays continue to perform well, and we'll continue to look at ways to increase our distribution on our defense sprays. Some areas that will require some more work and attention, we're still in a holding pattern on our munitions based on supplier working on his ISO certification. As I stated in the third quarter, the timing has been pushed to 2017, and it might be the middle of 2017 before we'll be able to get into production and really make it a mark with munitions. Royalties and TG guards were down this year versus last year. It's somewhat of a secular business, and so a lot of quotes, contracts, and implementations have been pushed out to 2017 and beyond, but we feel 2017 will be a rebound from 2016, and we hope it'll be back to 2015 numbers. We are working on additional partnerships and products, and we had a great SHOT Show in January this past year, which was a continuation of what we had done in 2016. So our distribution strategy continues to work. We've increased and we'll continue to increase our distribution and reach throughout the balance of the year. As I discussed during the year on the quarter, we have successfully launched the following: new handles, new packaging, cost savings within those segments, and as Carl indicated in his numbers, new stun guns that are brighter and louder than the other models on the market. We feel stun guns is a great category to expand from that safety, security, personal offense point of view, and we continue to look at other products within this segment that we can continue to launch into 2017. We also remodeled our hard case, as I had mentioned in the third quarter, from a twist lock design to a flip top, which now makes it more consistent with our additional flip top family of products, which we are famously known for. And lastly, the auto valve unit in our production has increased our capacity and our helped us even with our returns ratio, which is almost negligible in throughout all of our sales. Lastly, on this side of it, SecureCheck, which has purchased our security business, meaning our cameras, our NVRs, DVRs, and all of our surveillance products, has gotten off to a good start with getting the Mace brand out there into those segments and will continue to do so in the future. Court Security and Select Security, which we had done a deal with on a marketing program for our dealer networks, is yet to start, but they anticipate starting in late to mid-2017. Lastly, on our licensing side, we're very pleased with the start that we've had with our partners at Vigilant. Vigilant has done a very good job of promoting the Mace brand online. We had several items that were top sellers in Amazon, and now we're launching the Vigilant alarms at retail with some great success early on. So we're very excited about this product and how we can move forward both with stun guns, personal offense, personal alarms at our retail level, along with several other products. On the disappointing side of the news, our Night Beams product launch, as indicated by the numbers, continues to be slower at retail than we'd like. With the retail placement we've had, it's still not hitting the goals and numbers that we want. A couple of reasons why, as I stated in the third quarter, continues to be the value proposition, the quality, the awareness, as many of our retailers are advertising, but they're not getting the POS sell-through that we would like. We're continuing to work on our programs with our partners, but at some time we might have to move on from this product line as we have some other opportunities available to us. 911, Mace Alert 911, as we indicated, we had some nice sell in the fourth quarter of the year, and we'll know within the next couple months how that sell-through was. But we are working on placement in pharmacy departments at retail. We're working aggressively online with our friends at Amazon. We've also created some unique display opportunities that we're pushing aggressively in the first quarter of the year. And we still have high expectations that Mace 911 will be a great product, but it will require education, advertising, and also the right display piece in order to get it out there. As I mentioned in the third quarter, we also were able to launch successfully many new items that will bleed into the first quarter of 2017. Our new Pepper gun, which we launched late in the fourth quarter, has done very, very well, exceeding our expectations. That continues to happen in 2017. Our clutch models, which fall into our exquisite line, lightweight, user-friendly, exclusive to Mace, have been selling internationally and also online at mace.com and Amazon. Our carabiner, a new concept, is truly the first true carabiner that has a pepper spray built into it, and we have high hopes for it in the future. As Carl also mentioned, our gross profit in the quarter is a combination of manufacturing changes we had made, package assembly, and product mix, as our sales team has done a great job of working as business managers to ensure profitability. Lastly, we've done a great job with our inventory. Our inventory is down year to year. Our turns continue to be strong, and we continue to look at ways that we can optimize both our operations and our shipping and also our partnerships with our customers. Looking forward into Q1, we're closing on our acquisition that we had previously announced. We will close this acquisition in the first quarter. We're launching new products, and we're constantly working on improving our products. We continue to balance growth, spending, and strategic opportunities for the brand. Thanks again for your support of the Mace brand. And at this time, we can open up for questions Now, we can take questions from the moderator if you would like right now.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from Thurman Wilson. Willis, your line is open.
John, how are you, Ian Carl? I am happy to see that you move from the pink sheets to the OTC QX, and I'm still getting word that different brokerage firms have this listed as a pink sheet stock, no buys, and not available to buy. What are you guys finding out about this, and why is this going on still after a week?
Well, this is Carl. So I reached out to the OTCQX, and they're making some phone calls on our behalf to investigate that, and I'm waiting for a response from them. It's the best I could say.
Carl, have you tried any specific brokerage firms and see what information they give you?
I have not called anyone specifically at this point in time, Thurman.
Okay.
But the OTC markets are working for us on our behalf and calling different brokerages and making sure that they know. We're hopeful that it won't take too long for them to get that message out and that they'll realize it. And at the same time, we can make a concentrated effort on the different finance sites to make sure that they know we've made that move over.
Okay. I am going to refer momentarily to the chairman's letter on my second question, and then I'll get off the call back on the queue. I think we've all been disappointed that there's been no volume since you've moved to the QX, which definitely tells us there's no eyes or no fans in the stands relative to the stock, no matter what we happen to say. I feel that this overhang that's been talked about in previous conference calls is continuing to cause issues, and wondered what the board is planning to do about that specifically. And then the accretive acquisitions, if our stock price, if our market value were higher, we would have much less our accretion would be much better than even with the dilution if we had an 80-cent stock price. So I know that we've talked about the stock price being higher. It's the same place it was 4 years ago with all the announcements that's been made. So, John, I want you to please, as I've asked about five times, to be very specific as to what's going to be done in this area. I'm glad that the chairman decided to write this letter, and maybe he can get involved to help in this area.
Thurman, we just had a board meeting and we discussed the idea of the investor conferences and which of conferences would make the most amount of sense for the company to participate in. We will be participating in some investor conferences, and as soon as that's locked down completely, I'll make sure everybody knows is the best response I could give it. And also, completing the Washington Labs acquisition, I think, will also help us because it will be accretive to what we're doing with our Mace branded business, and I think it would be a very nice addition going forward for the company.
Well, we've had other things happen equal to Washington Labs, and I know it's supposed to produce 25% revenues and significant profits, but even when it was announced, the stock went down. And again, I say with no volume, 120 shares, you know, today there's just no eyes on the stock. So I'm not hearing specifically what the board, Richard, Dennis, yourself, plans to do other than talk about some upcoming investor conferences, and I just think it's time for the talk to stop and the action to begin. Since we have the story to tell, we are profitable. I just don't think that answer is adequate, John, relative to where we are with no eyes on the stock.
Okay, Thurman, I can carry the water again. All we can tell you is that we'll continue to work hard to improve the company as we've done every year. And yes, we'd all like to see the stock improve. And as we can improve the company, I think the stock will continue to improve. But I'll make sure that your message and all the board members that listen to this conference call, that they understand your passion for the brand, and we appreciate that.
I'll get out of the queue. I have a couple other questions, and thank you for taking my questions, and let the next caller come on.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Andrew Shapiro of Lawndale Capital. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I'm going to try to get a bunch of questions in because I might have to run to catch a plane. Regarding the Washington Labs deal, are you able to expand upon or update us on the deal terms? Because it mentions how the deal would be a combination of cash and stock, which at these price levels was a little remarkable. And what barriers are there that exist to closing on this acquisition, which you had announced you thought would close by the beginning of February?
So we're not going to talk about the deal specifics, Andrew, and the closing was an estimate in February, and we're going to close it before the quarter ends, as we said in our press release.
Okay. Are there regulatory requirements or governmental things that get in the way of doing this?
It's just a timing issue.
Great.
There's
all
nothing
right.
In the way.
Okay. And then a few questions. You had some really good year-over-year performance versus last year's Q4. And I'm not sure if it's seasonality or to what extent it's seasonality, but can you answer a few questions I have here regarding these Q4 numbers relative to what was a really good Q3 to understand what's going on sequentially? So first off, with the incremental Mace 911 Q4 sales, which I'm really pleased to see, your sequential Pepper and other sales versus Q3 was down quite a bit. Why is that, or is this a seasonality thing?
No, it wasn't really a seasonality. The Mace 911 we're a little bit bullish on because as we present it to more customers, they get the value proposition versus the competitive products in the marketplace. So we're hopeful for even more action in that regard. With regard to the traditional retail sales from the consumer and the sporting goods and some of the other channels, it's really a timing issue. There was some shipments that left that were recorded in a third quarter that actually would have been recorded in a fourth quarter, so they left just a bit early. But if you normalize that, you would have 2-3 shipments that were quite large to a variety of retailers left earlier, and if you had put them into the fourth quarter, you'd say, okay, it was meant to mend. So not really seasonality. The only thing that's a concern, and just you didn't ask this, but the only thing that was a concern, there was a slowdown at retail towards the end of the calendar year in 2016, due to slower foot traffic at retail.
Now, we're in February, following up on that answer. We're in March now. Understand December might have slowed down, but how have things looked then in January and February? Does that slowness continue?
The slowness has continued. We're really bullish about the budget and the projections we've put together internally for the year, but it has started a little bit slower. General retail is a little bit slower. There is more chains, as you know, on the sporting goods side that's gone out of business, and there's some consolidation happening on the traditional retail side. So with that in mind, we have focused on beefing up our staff. We've added a salesperson for our .com and some of our boutique retailers that seem to be doing nicely, even though your bigger retailers have slowed down. And we've also beefed up the staff in order to prepare for the acquisition of Washington Labs. So in general, January, February, we're not exactly where we'd like them to be, but we're really confident in another good year, similar to 2016.
Okay. And with the revenue timing shift between Q3 and Q4, I'm not sure in terms of the payment terms on your customers, but your receivable, while your inventory turns have greatly improved, your receivable turns, turns sequentially have dropped, dropped quite a bit. And so I was just wondering, what do you attribute the increase in your receivable days for the Q4 versus Q3?
Again, probably, Andrew, it's just the timing of the sales versus Q3. You know, Q3 was loaded heavily in the early part of the quarter, and Q4 was just, you know, towards the middle it's just the timing of the sales, I think. There's no issue with collectability or mix of customers. It's just timing of the sales.
Okay. And why did the gross margin percentage in Q4 drop versus Q3? If it helps, you're talking about in Q3, you had gross margin, I believe, almost as high as 43%. And while 38, 39% year over year was great versus your 35 the prior year, it's a 400 basis point drop from last quarter. So I'm just wondering if, you know, what we're doing, is it a mix? So do you not get as high a margin on Alert 911?
Well, the Mace Alert 911 sold in the fourth quarter did have a margin hit on that. We didn't sell that at quite a high profit as the rest of the mix of product that we sell. You know, I'd have to look into it further. Off the top of my head, I don't see any specific reason.
Mace 911, just like further on that, was an opportunity that we had that we took advantage of. And as you know, we have a partner on that we license technology, so it's a profit split. So it's a great product at a higher price point than we typically sell a lot of our other products, but then with the profit split, it is going to be at a lower marginality than our traditional products.
Right. Well, I'm just guessing that might have been the issue, but offline, if you can get back to us, Yeah, because that's a pretty big sequential margin decline, and maybe it's got other issues behind it, but I just want to get on top of it ahead of time.
There's nothing systemic there. I mean, we'll look at it, I'll look at it from a mixed perspective.
On 911, this 80,000 revenue level for Q4, again, very nice start. I think you implied it was a front-end load into the distributors. What visibility of sell-through have you seen from the distributors here in the first 2 months of the year already?
Pretty good. We don't have full visibility to it yet because part of the partnership with our partner is that they're monitoring that. But I think by mid-year we'll have a really good read on how it did and how repeatable it will be. Plus, there's some other channels of trade or traditional retail channels that we feel pretty good about that we'll be able to attack based on some of the things that have happened thus far.
Okay. And are those Q1 distribution doors that you're opening?
That would be front half of the year would be my goal, no later than the third quarter.
Okay. And can you describe the increased disclosures or requirements on the company for uplisting to the OTCQX Best, and what are your expected benefits from making this action?
Well, we expect, first of all, from a disclosure standpoint, the supplemental disclosure that's required really mimics, if you will, the information disclosed in the 10-K. We're working on that, and probably within the next couple of weeks, that'll be uploaded to the OTC and made available to the investment world. And again, by going to the OTCQX, investors look at that exchange as being companies that are on there being more open with the information, more current with their information, and providing investors a better look into the organization and get a very much better comfort level with buying the shares that are traded on that exchange versus the pink sheets.
Okay. Hey, I got additional questions. Hopefully you can come back to me fairly soon because I got to catch a flight, but I'm going to back out and let others on the call do some questions.
Thanks, Andrew.
Your next question comes from the line of Vijay Marolia of Regal Point Capital. Your line is open.
Thanks, guys. Congratulations on the quarter. We've seen some movement in the currency markets, and I was wondering if the dollar strength has impacted the growth overseas.
A little bit, but not really, because of we're trading in U.S. dollars. To some extent, it kind of fluctuates, but most of it was the immigrant crisis, especially as Germany experienced it. We are a little bit concerned just that kind of on that side because Germany is looking at laws of less than lethal products, and then they're also reexamining what they will do. Longer term, though, we've opened up South America, South Africa, and we've seen no currency effect on some of the other areas of the world that we've been able to ship products to.
But any changes in Italy and France specifically, John?
Pardon me?
Any changes changes in the trends in Italy or France specifically?
No, right now what will happen, and typically it happens in the consumer markets, especially as Germany changes, those other markets will change. Like the UK, for example, has never allowed pepper spray, but we make a product called Stopper Red that we own the patent on that we ship to that country. It's a red dye irritant, but it contains no OC. Spain, France, and Italy have not made any changes or done anything differently with their laws and regulations with regard to civilian carry of pepper spray. But our fear is that if Germany does enact stricter laws with regard of carrying pepper, they might follow suit, which is typically what they do. Right now, Germany is kind of in a standstill. We're continuing to ship them. It's not at the levels that we did prior. We have a great, great partner in Germany, and we'll continue to work with them on what they need, their labeling requirements, and as the regulations change. But right now, it's a little bit wait and see what happens, but we're set up nicely with our distributors there, and then we're looking at growing that, you know, worldwide from the success that we've had in Western Europe.
Thanks, John. Just two more questions. This one I'll try to just keep as simple as I can, but when you see the positive momentum, why would we use stock to do an acquisition?
Well, it kind of made sense on our side, and plus the buyer really wanted to the acquisition, like we view it almost internally as a little bit of a partnership because a lot of his employees are coming over, and he really liked the brand, and he really wanted to have a piece of action in the brand, to be honest with you. And that way it also protects our liquidity, so we're not using up all of our capital that we still have dry powder if we want to go out and look at more acquisitions. So strategically, I think it makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, quite honestly, he's tied to our results, so that's also good for us because he wants us to succeed in the future because he'll be a shareholder.
Okay, that's fair. I appreciate that. Last question is, do we have anything on the schedule in terms of annual shareholder meeting or an analyst day?
We do. We'd love to have an analyst day in conjunction with the shareholder meeting. We actually are working on it'll probably be the last week of June that we'll have it, and we'll make sure that's out in advance because at that point we'll be fully integrated with the acquisition. We'll have some more new things to talk about during that time. We'd love to give people a plant tour and realize that 90% of the pepper spray products we make and sell, we make them right here, you know, in the United States, which I think with President Trump's mandate to buy American as often as you can or buy made in the USA, we're a great example of that.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time and congrats on a quarter.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for participating.
Your next question comes from the line of Thurman Willis. Your line is open.
Couple of quick questions. Is Richard or Dennis on the call?
Carl and I are together in a conference room, so they're not with us, but they might be on the call. But they would have to dial in like you would, Thurman, because they're not on the speaker line.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate Richard's letter relative to the very positive things he had to say in his letter. And this was discussed 2 years ago or a year and a half ago about this overhang, and I wonder if this overhang was discussed in the board meeting yesterday and if there's any plans to do anything with the overhang so that we can remove that and the stock can move on up.
You know, the prudent thing to do is to make no comment at this point on that. Like, we're all aware of it. We all are aware of the power of the brand and the potential of the brand, and we just have to keep on working as best as we possibly can to make sure as many people know that, and also that we do a good job and we continue to build out both our retail distribution, our partnerships, and sell the product worldwide. But we do appreciate your passion and trust me that the board and everybody is aware of it, but at this time we really shouldn't comment.
Okay, that's fine. And one final question. I appreciate over the last 4 years all of the numerous and many achievements for those of us that have followed the stock for this time frame. And again, the stock is trading about where it was at that point in time, and we are in a great environment for pepper spray, for mace, and for its products. And so I know that I'm accused often of talking about stock price, and I remember being told by one of the board members, just wait till we get profitable, and then we're going to move forward on that. Well, we're profitable, and I still don't see any material evidence that there's any marketing, there's any education that's going on to try to get new eyes and new fans in the stands on the stock. Like I said, Washington Labs has been announced. The facts about the revenues and the significant profits have been announced. The stock doesn't trade or it moves down, which, as the last caller said, is frustrating to us as investors, because if you had an 80-cent stock price, that would have been a lot less dilutive to us, even though it would still have been, even though still the deal is accretive. And I just still am not hearing the specific things that are going to be done, and I've been asking for 2 years. I presented a 10-point presentation there not too many years ago that I thought would help the stock price, and a higher stock price is going to help everybody. A higher stock price will make your job in acquisitions much easier, but I have just not seen any movement toward this education or marketing. And then lastly, I understand the window opens today for insiders. We expect any insiders to be buying stock. But, John, I'm going to keep pressing the issue of the stock price, because we now are profitable. We have a story to tell. The institutions like to be on the front end. I think the institutional conferences we're going to are too large. We need to cut down to the size of conference that is relative to our company. And I just don't understand how the board can meet and not be specific about what we're going to do to get eyes on this stock. All we have done is talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, and I just think it's time for action. I know you say the board hears me, but they don't act on it. And if they're not going to act on it, we're going to stay here at 40 cents forever, no matter what you announce. So I just like a little more color. The reason I'm sort of frustrated here, I'm extremely pleased with the fundamental progress of the company. I'm totally displeased with the technicals of the company when it comes to marketing and education. You've had three PR firms or four. All of them have failed miserably, and there are bound to be firms that are out there that are not necessarily in the Cleveland area that can take this story and move it forward, and we could sell at, you know, we got a dollar NOL. Probably the brand name alone is worth where the stock is selling now. And so I just don't understand. And I feel like I get the runaround instead of specifics about what the board is going to do.
Well, Thurman, thanks very much for the call. Thanks for the support. And I do know all the board members either dial in or listen to the transcript of the call, and all I can tell you is we're going to continue to work hard and do good things. But I do appreciate
it. Ask them to please execute on their plan of getting more eyes on the stock. And it's not hard with a stock that has a $24 million market cap to get eyes on the stock in this environment. It's just plain not doing our homework or not engaged, plain and simple.
All right, sir. Well, thank you. So I think we have only time for a couple more calls that, Thurman, if you don't mind, maybe we'll try and grab somebody
else.
Drew has a flight to catch.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Shapiro of Lawndale Capital. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I got a few questions. I'll try to carry that over the goal line to get to that plane. You said that you got 1.1 million of the over 60 million of NOLs are expiring in 2018. Can you give us a little bit more forward guidance of what else expires in 2019
sure.
and 2020?
Yeah. In 2019, 4.5 million, and then in 2020, 3.2 million. And then
that's good enough. If you guys can make $8 million and chew that up before it expires, then Thurman won't have much to complain about. So I just needed to know the next few years. That's good enough for now. Mace Tactical. For me, this has been a disappointment, but maybe it's just all hidden behind the TG Guard, which comes in waves every few years. Excluding TG Guard, what was the level of Mace Tactical product sales during Q4 compared to last year, not counting TG Guard?
Andrew, how about if we do this, we could get you that information offline to look at the defense sprays outside of the royalties and outside of the TG Guard products.
Okay, because I just want to know if you're growing there, because that leads me, frankly, into my next questions. You know, you've been to the SHOT Show multiple years in a row. I've been in here forever, and you've been the CEO for a long time, and we always hear about the SHOT Show. And I'm just trying to get a feel here about what's ever come in terms of cash flows from the SHOT Show. And, because we're not seeing as meaningful a growth in Mace Tactical as I would expect after multiple trade shows and the purported marketing efforts to penetrate the RFP market opportunities you got to do with the law enforcement.
Right. Okay, so don't be fooled with the SHOT Show. SHOT Show stands for Sporting, Hunting, Outdoor, Tactical. So sporting, hunting, and outdoor are the biggest segments of the show. And we do.
Okay. Well, then you do well there. I understand.
Yeah. So,
okay.
And the tactical is the smallest segment. Most of it, which at the right, we're making the right amount of investments in the trade shows on the tactical side. Once we can get our munitions lined up, which we would love to do as soon as possible, and get this ISO certification, so our manufacturing partner's comfortable, then you'd see more of investment into the SWAT shows that happen almost every month and are regionally based. And quite honestly, you know, we're blessed to have Terry Gaynor on our board, that, you know, works with the big city chiefs and works with the Justice Department and is very knowledgeable about what steps we need to take. It's really a matter of, as you're disappointed, we're disappointed in our inability to get the manufacturing agreement done and get the products made for the chemical munition side of the business. But we'll get to that analysis on the defense prey side, because we've had some nice gains. It can always be better, but it's more each time.
We see Taser announcing all these every month or every quarter. They provide a list of all the agencies, et cetera, that they're penetrating, and that they have such a great market share. And I know we're not technically competing directly with the Taser device, although we do have a stun gun, et cetera. But it'd be nice to know that we're making penetration and that these law enforcement agencies you're getting into can and are serving as reference sites to get into others, because, you know, the police chiefs, they all talk to each other, and it's not appearing, after so many quarters of hearing this stuff, we're not getting what I would think is the execution that we ought to on the existing product lines. And with respect to the new product lines, the broader range of less lethal munitions, can you expand a little bit more about the ISO certification? Because the way you describe it now sounds as if there are some steps that MACE has to take in order to move this forward, where I had the impression previously this was solely on the, you know, NRT and your manufacturing agreement.
It's nothing we can do about it. It's completely on the manufacturing side. And the other point that you made is Taser's a technology company, so when they're announcing, a lot of times they're announcing some of their weapon sale, their Taser weapons, a lot of times it's they're getting contracts that have been awarded on their camera side. If you look at what they're doing, because it's apples and oranges, we're in more of the commodity side of what an officer would be carrying, which is very, very highly competitive. What Taser's doing, especially with some of their products, and they've done a nice job, and it's a good company, and we know them pretty well and have a lot of respect for them, is completely different than we're doing, because we're up against, you know, a lot of different spray companies with ours. And so, yes, chiefs talk, but it's better for a chief to talk in private than for us to say, hey, we're in this department or that department. So I think there's some different dynamics that work there. But back to that original, the ISO certification is not on us. It's on them, and it's a process like everything else, whether we like it or not.
Okay. And with respect to your competitors you're talking about, you mentioned, and I appreciate that, we're, you know, 80-90% of what we're doing is made in the USA, and that might, you know, be good for the current scene. But to what extent do your main competitors manufacture outside of the USA?
Most spray manufacturers are producing in the United States.
Okay. All right. So that's not a competitive advantage. It's just that it won't be a competitive disadvantage for us.
Correct.
Okay. On consumer personal defense, excluding Sports Authority, which I guess you did have some sales to last fourth quarter, how did MACE sales in sporting goods look this quarter, year over year, versus without Sports Authority in the mix?
They were, like I think as Carl said in his analysis, in the fourth quarter, the sporting goods channel, we were up about $216,000, or about almost 30%. And a lot of it was, as I mentioned in my commentary, is placement within the store. So not only were we in one department, several stores, we were in several different departments with different selling premises, which goes again to our packaging and our marketing acumen, if you would, that we had different messages on different products to hit different consumers.
Okay. And along that same line, regarding Walmart, which we kind of discussed on the last call, you said previously you were in about 500 of their sporting goods sections out of a potential 3,000, give or take some that are in New York State or some other regulated state. When did you get into the 500 store level, and what are the milestones remaining to get into
the other, say, 2,000 sections, because I know, like, you can't get into New York because it's a state issue, regulatory issue.
Right. So I don't want to get into specifics, but, like, we have some plans to expand that distribution, and it comes with the different modifications and sets that different retailers do. With regard to New York, we are starting to work with their representatives to see if we couldn't get some laws changed, because we were very successful in doing that in Massachusetts. So antiquated laws in New York that don't allow people to carry personal protection, we think is not really apropos in today's current environment, especially with the modifications and changes and modernization of the products that we now make, being almost 100% all natural, made in the United States, safe to use, and effective, you know, when used in the right circumstances. So I don't want to get into account-specific details, but, you know, we are looking forward to increasing our distribution across all channels of trade in 2017.
Now there's some talk of legislation in Canada to open up the Canadian market to personal defense sprays as well. Where does that stand? And is, would Mace have an opportunity to benefit from that and is involved in that legislation getting passed?
We have a huge opportunity to benefit from it, both because of the acquisition and also just the Mace brand itself. Right now it's a 50-50 proposition, because unfortunately it was sponsored, and I don't have her name in front of me, so I apologize, by a woman to change that, and then it was opposed by another woman legislator in Canada, and so now it's at a bit of a standstill, if you would, or a standoff. So
right.
Great optimism that it would move quickly. Now I think it's going to move a little slower. Our hope is that, like most, you know, we're legal in all 52 states in the United States, that they would realize that this is the way for people to defend themselves and be able to live their lives safely.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my questions in a timely manner.
Right. All right. Well, that will wrap up the – well, if we have one more call, then we'll wrap up, because I think we're a couple minutes over.
Your next question comes from the line of Thurman Willis, a private investor. Your line is open.
Just one more word to the board. I'm going to quote Donald Trump. He gave himself an A on what he had done, so I give Mace an A on fundamentals, and he gave himself a C to a C-plus on messaging. And I think Mace fits right into that shoe, and they must improve the messaging to get the word out, because the chairman would not have written the letter if he was not bullish and thought the stock price was underpriced. So we as shareholders want to see a higher stock price, which is the fiduciary responsibility of each and every board member and also of managing the company. I thank you for letting me harp on this, but I just do not think, after many meetings, visiting with the board, that I've got my point across, and I want to get my point across in no uncertain terms.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, this will wrap up the call. One last note is I do apologize, but we'll have that PowerPoint presentation on our website as soon as possible. But always, we thank everybody for their participation. We're pleased with our results. We're not satisfied with where we are, but we'll continue to work hard in the future. And if anybody has any other questions, please feel free to email us at our investor at corp@mace.com, and then I'll let Carl wrap up.
Yeah, just getting back to one of Andrew's questions with regards to the margin, you know, I do want to confirm that the 81,000 in Mace Alert 911 went out at a low margin, plus quarter on quarter, Q3, Q4. In Q4, when we closed the year, we did increase the inventory reserves on some of our inventory, which was, you know, almost like a $85,000-$90,000 increase in expense through cost of goods sold. So that's the majority of your marginality change, Q4 versus Q3.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. This will conclude the call.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.